الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين. أما بعد, we continue with the تفسير سورة النساء, التفسير الشيخ عبد الرحمن بن ناصر السعدي عليه رحمة الله. And we stopped last week at Ayah 79, and inshallah this morning we'll be addressing the tafsir of Ayah 80 and whatever Allah facilitates afterwards. أعوذ بالله السميع العليم من الشيطان الرجيم. من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله ومن تولى فما أرسلناك عليهم حفيظا. He who obeys the messenger has indeed obeyed Allah. But he who turns away, then we have not sent you, meaning O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as a watcher over them. The Shaykh said, أي كل من أطاع رسول الله في أوامره ونواهيه فقد أطاع الله تعالى. Whosoever obeys the messenger of Allah in his commandments and his prohibitions has indeed obeyed Allah. لكونه لا يأمر ولا ينهى إلا بأمر الله وشرعه ووحيه وتنزيله. Since he does not command nor does he forbid except by Allah's command, Allah's legislation, Allah's revelation, and whatever Allah sends down. وفي هذا عصمة الرسول صلى الله عليه وسلم. In this is the عصمة. Now, we always have an issue in translating, obviously, Arabic terms to English, due to the fact that sometimes an Arabic term will have many different meanings, which cannot be found in a single English word, which requires like a sentence, sometimes even more, to explain it. Ma'soom, in other words, means someone who is protected from error. Alaykum salam, someone who is infallible in that sense. But it is not that ultimate infallibility. Rather, pertaining to revelation, pertaining to things which he conveys from Allah, he's ma'soom sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. It's impossible that he would make a mistake and that thing would remain for the ummah to act upon. Whenever there were judgment errors, Allah Azza wa Jalla will soon or automatically reveal that which rectifies it. And you have many examples from the Quran and the Sunnah regarding this fact. So this is what is intended by ma'soom. The isma, alaykum salam, meaning no one, it's impossible that he will err, he will make a mistake, he will convey incorrect information to his followers, to the ummah. لأن الله أمر بطاعته مطلقا. Why? Because Allah commanded that you shall obey him in an absolute sense. فلولا أنه معصوم في كل ما يبلغ عن الله لم يأمر بطاعته مطلقا ويمدح لذلك. Had he not been protected by Allah from making these mistakes, Allah wouldn't have commanded that he is to be obeyed in the absolute sense. And then Allah would have prayed and Allah praised him. Allah wouldn't have praised him for that. وهذا من الحقوق المشتركة. Now this falls under the joint rights, the common joint rights. فإن الحقوق ثلاثة. فإن الحقوق ثلاثة. Rights are of three kinds. حق الله تعالى لا يكون لأحد من الخلق. The right of Allah alone, which is not the right of any one of His creation. The right of Allah alone, Allah's right alone. وهو عبادة الله والرغبة إليه وتوابع ذلك. Which is to enslave oneself and worship Allah, to long to Him, and whatever necessitates that, and whatever comes after that. That's the right of Allah. وقسم مختص بالرسول. Another right is a right which is specific to the Messenger صلى الله عليه وسلم, هو التعزير والتوقير والنصرة, which is veneration, respect, and providing aid, providing assistance. وقسم مشترك. And the last kind is one which is common or joint. وقسم مختص بالرسول. وقسم مشترك هو الإيمان بالله ورسوله, which is to believe in Allah and His Messenger. ومحبتهما, and love for both of them. وطاعتهما, and obedience to both of them. كما جمع الله بين هذه الحقوق في قوله ليؤمنوا بالله ورسوله وتعزروه وتوقروه وتسبحوه بكرة وأصيلا. Like Allah joined these rights together in one ayah where Allah said, so you may believe in Allah and His Messenger and you may venerate Him, respect Him, and then تسبحوه back to Allah, that you may glorify Allah or free Him from any imperfection in the morning and in the evening. فَمَنْ أَطَاعَ الرَّسُولِ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهِ. Then whosoever obeys the Messenger has obeyed Allah. وله من الثواب والخير ما رتب على طاعة الله. And he will have the reward and the goodness associated with whatever one gets when he obeys Allah. Meaning it's equal. Now, some may think that this is common sense, or, you know, what's the big deal? What are you talking about? And truthfully, ikhwan, if you didn't come to the lecture this Monday, the philosophers, obviously some of you didn't come to the lecture, the philosophers, the lecture was speaking about these Quranites. These wicked creatures who claim to be following the Quran only, no more, no less. And in the process, they deny the hadith, they deny the sunnah of the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they claim that they are rightly guided. And so all of these ayat were actually used to refute them. Because Allah said, whoever obeys the Messenger has obeyed Allah. And so if obedience to Allah is what is in the Quran, fine. Allah commanded in the Quran, we carry out. But how do you obey the Messenger if there was no sunnah? How would you obey the Messenger if there was no sunnah? That would be impossible. And it will render this ayat ineffective and void. Because all over the Quran, Allah says, obey the Messenger. Whatever the Messenger gives you, take it. Whatever he forbids you, leave it alone. How? If it's the Quran, then Allah wouldn't need the Messenger. You would say, whatever Allah tells you, do. Whatever Allah prohibits you or forbids you, leave it alone. Whatever the Quran tells you. But Allah spoke about the Messenger. So, يعني, the lecture's on YouTube, by the way, if you're interested. Go on YouTube, type the philosophers, or go to the channel One Way to Paradise. One Way to Paradise, and then the most recent one is the philosophers. Watch it. So, in case you come across these people, I don't know if you have, but they exist abundantly. You'll be able to prove from the Quran and the Sunnah the refutation against them, so that you'll be able to protect yourself and your deen. وَمَنْ تَوَلَّى عَنْ طَاعَةِ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا يَضُرُّ إِلَّا نَفْسَهُ. However, whoever turns away in aversion from the obedience of Allah and His Messenger will harm none but himself. وَلَا يَضُرُّ اللَّهَ شَيْئًا. And he will not harm Allah in any way. Obviously. فَمَا أَرْسَلْنَاكَ عَلَيْهِمْ حَفِيظًا. We have not sent you as a protector or a watcher over them. أي تحفظ أعمالهم وأحوالهم. That you watch over there, you watch and you keep count, or you keep account of their deeds and their conditions. وما أرسلنا بل أرسلناك مبلغا ومبينا وناصحا. Rather, we have sent you as a مبلغا, one who conveys. I don't know if conveyor is a noun. ومبينا, one who clarifies. وناصحا, and an advisor, a sincere advisor. And of course, there's an evidence in that about the permissibility of giving khutbah in English or in Chinese or in Tagalog or in Hindi or whatever, because the principles behind sending the Messenger, one of the principles behind sending the Messenger is that he's able to communicate with his people in a language which they understand. And Allah says, وَمَا أَرْسَلْنَا مِنْ رَسُولٍ إِلَّا بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ لِيُبَيِّنَ لَهُمْ. And we have not sent a messenger except with the same language as his people, so he may clarify for them. بِلِسَانِ قَوْمِهِ, the same tongue. Technically it's not the tongue, but the same language. So this ayah the ulama used to show the permissibility of translating or conducting Islamic related material in other than Arabic. Even though Arabic is preferred, and it is preferred that everyone learns Arabic, it is not trying to divert your motivation from learning. But until then, one is able to deal with any other language, because the objective is to convey the message to people. Because in some countries, and I remember this from back in the days, Some dude will come on a minbar, all of the people don't speak Arabic, including himself, and he will have a book, and he will read a khutbah from a book. and finish it up, pray, and then after the prayer or before, they would have a bayan. Okay? So the khutbah, to them the khutbah must be in Arabic. But is this the deen? Is the deen a bunch of ritualism? That you come and you do the job without you understanding, nor the people understanding? That doesn't make any sense. The objective behind that revelation is that you interact with it, you understand and you act upon it. Not that you just hear some ritualism and then you go home. So this nonsense that some people are stuck upon, that no, we have to do this in Arabic. Learn Arabic and have khutbah in Arabic. Until then, do it in whatever language you and the people are able to understand. So that the people will benefit from the actual attendance. Otherwise it doesn't make any sense. وَقَدْ أَدَّيْتَ وَظِيفَتَكَ وَوَجَبَ أَجْرُكَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. And Allah is saying to the Prophet ﷺ, you have fulfilled your task, and your reward, your good reward is inevitable and is with Allah. سَوَاءٌ اِهْتَدَوْا أَمْ لَمْ يَهْتَدُوا. Irrespective whether they are guided or they are not guided, whether they listen to you or they don't listen to you, that doesn't make a difference. Once the Messenger alayhi salallahu alayhi wa sallam conveyed, now what happens to them is between them and Allah. Your ajr is for the da'wah which you made. Obviously, if someone becomes a Muslim, then the good deeds which they perform will also be in your good deeds, in the book of your good, in your book of deeds, because you are the one who guided them with Allah's permission. But if they don't, you're not sinful. If you give da'wah to someone and he rejects Islam, you're not sinful at all. In fact, your reward is with Allah also. And you've done your job. You simply conveyed the message. كما قال تعالى فذكر إنما أنت مذكر لست عليهم بمسيطر. Then remind, you're no more than a remind, the one who reminds. You are not one who is in charge over them. Musaytir is like sayitara, to be in control. You're not in control. You cannot control them and their affairs and their choices. Ayah 81.
وَيَقُولُونَ طَاعَةٌ فَإِذَا بَرَزُوا مِنْ عِنْدِكَ بَيَّتَ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ غَيْرَ الَّذِي تَقُولُ وَاللَّهُ يَكْتُبُ مَا يُبَيِّتُونَ فَأَعْرِضْ عَنْهُمْ وَتَوَكَّلْ عَلَى اللَّهِ وَكَفَى بِاللَّهِ وَكِيلًا.
They say, we are obedient. But when they leave you, a section of them spend all night in planning, other than that what you say. But Allah records their nightly plots. So turn aside from them and put your trust in Allah, and Allah is ever all-sufficient as a disposer of affairs. The Shaykh said, وَلَا بُدَّ أَن تَكُونَ طَاعَةُ اللَّهِ وَرَسُولِهِ ظَاهِرًا وَبَاطِنًا فِي الْحَضْرَةِ وَالْمَغِيبِ. Allah musta'an. The obedience to Allah and His Messenger must be outwardly and inwardly. It must be apparent and hidden, in the publicly and behind closed doors. Maghib is when you are hidden from people. From ghiyab, someone who's absent. في غيابة الجب, when Yusuf, they put him in the well, something which conceals him from the people being able to see him. فَأَمَّا مَنْ يُظْهِرُ فِي الْحَضْرَ الطَّاعَ وَالْإِلْتِزَامِ فَإِذَا خَلَى بِنَفْسِهِ أَوْ أَبْنَاءِ جِنْسِهِ تَرَكَ الطَّاعَ وَأَقْبَلَ عَلَى ضِدِّهَا فَإِنَّ الطَّاعَةَ الَّتِي أَظْهَرَ غَيْرُ نَافِعَ وَلَا مُفِيدًا. The one who displays in publicly, he publicly displays obedience and adherence to the deen. Then when he is on his own or among his own people, he abandons this obedience and he inclines towards what is opposite to that, meaning disobedience. فَإِنَّ الطَّاعَ, then that obedience which he earlier displayed is not going to benefit him. Is not going to benefit him, is not fruitful. وَقَدْ أَشْبَهَ مَنْ قَالَ اللَّهُ فِيهِمْ, and then he resembles those whom Allah said concerning, وَيَقُولُونَ طَاعَ, meaning they pretend, they say in front of you that they will be obedient, أَيُّضِيرُونَ طَاعَةَ إِذَا كَانُوا عِنْدَكَ, when they are with you, they act obediently. فَإِذَا بَرَزُوا مِنْ عِنْدِكَ أَيْ خَرَجُوا وَخَلَوْا فِي حَالَةٍ لَا يُطَّلَعَ فِيهَا عَلَيْهِمْ, So, but when they leave you and they are in a state where no one is able to see them, بَيَّتَ طَائِفَةٌ مِّنْهُمْ غَيْرَ الَّذِي تَقُولُ. A group of them will plot concerning things other than that which you say. أي بيتوا ودبروا غير طاعتك ولا ثم إلا المعصية. Meaning they plan and plot for other than your obedience, and the only thing is that is left when it's not obedience is disobedience. وفي قوله بيت طائفة منهم غير الذي تقول دليل على أن الأمر الذي استقروا عليه غير الطاعة. In that statement there is an evidence that the thing which they decided upon is other than obedience. لأن التبييت تدبير الأمر ليلا على وجه يستقر عليه الرأي. The term bayat denotes the night plotting in a manner where you come up with a conclusive decision. You agree upon something, خلاص, you will act upon it. ثم تواعدهم على ما فعلوا, then Allah threatened them concerning that which they have done. فقال والله يكتب ما يبيتون, and verily Allah writes all that which they are plotting. أن يحفظه عليهم وسيجازيهم عليه أتم الجزاء. Allah will preserve it, meaning preserve that content, and He will recompense them for it in the most perfect recompense, the most accurate recompense. ففيه وعيد لهم. There's a threat and a threat of punishment for that in that for them. ثم أمر رسوله بمقابلتهم بالإعراض وعدم التعنيف. And then he commanded the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam that he deals with them by turning away from them and not reprimanding them. فَإِنَّهُمْ لَا يَضُرُّونَهُ شَيْئًا إِذَا تَوَكَّلَ عَلَى اللَّهِ. They will not be able to harm him in any way if he relies upon Allah. وَاسْتَعَانَ بِهِ فِي نَصْرِ دِينِهِ وَإِقَامَةِ شَرِعِهِ. And he sought aid with Allah for Allah aiding his religion and the establishment of his legislation. ولهذا قال, that's what Allah said, فأعرض عنهم وتوكل على الله وكفى بالله وكيلا. So then turn away from them and rely upon Allah, and sufficient is Allah as a disposer of affairs. Ayah 82, Allah says, أفلا يتدبرون القرآن ولو كان من عند غير الله لوجدوا فيه اختلافا كثيرا. Do they not then consider Quran, the Quran carefully? Had it been from other than Allah, they would surely have found therein many contradictions. This ayah, you must memorize. This ayah, you must memorize, specifically if you give da'wah to the non-Muslims, Christians in particular. Ayah 82 of Surah An-Nisa. Do they not reflect upon the Quran? Do they not ponder over the Quran? Do they not look carefully into the Quran? Had it been from other than Allah, they would have found therein much contradiction. This ayah is used to prove to anyone the validity and the authority of the Quran in comparison to any other scripture which the people present. You bring any other scripture, whether it is the Old Testament or the New Testament or what they call the Bible nowadays, regardless of which version of the Bible they have, and you measure it or you analyze it according to this ayah, and it will fail. It will fail. And you will be able to say, according to the Allah's ayah, this is not from Allah. This Bible which you have in your hand is not from Allah. Why? Because you'll be able to pull thousands of contradictions. Not tens, not twenties, not hundreds, thousands. Thousands of contradictions in the Bible which the Christians claim to be the Word of God. And not even the layman, the most ignorant of people, will be able to identify these major discrepancies and contradictions. Now you apply the same standard, this yardstick, on the Quran, and you will be able to prove per the ayah that this book is from Allah, because there aren't any contradictions. And whatever ayat appear to be contradicting, have an explanation that will satisfy anyone who's seeking the truth. Mind you, there are some people whom Allah decreed they will never be guided. And these people will always justify their deviance because of supposedly claims or justifying them through loopholes or whatever they claim to be valid. But truthfully, they're invalid. Invalid. Otherwise, you can get any of the ayat mutashabihat, any of the ambiguous ayat, and use them to go astray. And Allah told us already, وَأَمَّا الَّذِينَ فِي قُلُوبِهِمْ زَيْغٌ فيتبعون ما تشابه منه ابتغاء الفتنة وابتغاء تأويله. Those who have deviance in their heart, they will seek the ambiguous ayat. So we know that this exists. But if you come to the real facts, there are no contradictions in the Quran. Every ayah must be understood and explained in the light of the other ayah. If someone is ignorant of the Arabic language, ignorance of the science of tafsir, to him it may appear to be in contradiction. But is it a contradiction? Absolutely not. And we're talking about selective ayat, which require the people of knowledge to clarify for the regular people. But the Bible, one ayah will say there were 40,000 horses, and the other one say there were, 4,000 horses. Now that's a big difference. Keeping in mind that when the Bible was written in Hebrew and Greek, they didn't have these zeros. The Jews didn't know the zero. Arabs taught the Jews the zero, because the Arabs are the ones who came with most of the mathematical things which we have today. Not that we're trying to praise the Arabs in particular, but that's a fact. So they didn't have a zero. So it means it used to be handwritten. It was written in letters. 1,000, 40,000, 4,000. So no one can say that the scribe made a mistake by adding or deleting a zero, because that wasn't the case then. Meaning is this major problems, waikum salam, which anyone can easily depict. Beautiful. So that ayah you need. Do they not then consider the Quran carefully? Had it been from other than Allah, they would have found therein much contradiction. Now let's see the tafsir of the Shaykh. Nevertheless, he says, "Rahimahullah, ya'muru ta'ala bitadabburi kitabih, wa huwa ta'ammulu fi ma'anihi wa tahdiq al-fikri fih, wa fi mabadi'ihi wa awaqibihi wa lawazimi dhalik." Allah commands that you reflect upon His book, which is to ponder upon its meanings and to look carefully into it, into its standards and the outcome of things and whatever necessitates that. فَإِنَّ فِي تَدَبُّرِ كِتَابِ اللَّهِ مِفْتَاحًا لِلْعُلُومِ وَالْمَعَارِفِ. And in pondering and reflecting upon the book of Allah, there's a key for knowledge and understanding. It's a key for knowledge. وَبِهِ يُسْتَنْتَجُ كُلُّ خَيْرٍ وَتُسْتَخْرَجُ مِنْهُ جَمِيعُ الْعُلُومِ. From the Quran, we're able to deduce every kind of good and extract all kinds of knowledge. وَبِهِ يَزْدَادُ الْإِيمَانُ فِي الْقَلْبِ وَتَرْسَخُ شَجَرَتُهُ. And through the Quran, iman is increased in the heart and its foundation is strengthened. فَإِنَّهُ يُعَرِّفُ بِالرَّبِّ الْمَعْبُودِ وَمَا لَهُ مِنْ صِفَاتِ الْكَمَالِ وَمَا يُنَزَّعُ عَنْهُ مِنْ سِمَاتِ النَّقْصِ. Because it teaches you, or it defines the Lord, the Master, the one who's worshipped, and what He has of perfect attributes, and it frees Him from any qualities of deficiency. وَيُعَرِّفُ الطَّرِيقَ الْمُوصِلَةِ إِلَيْهِ. And it identifies and provides information about the path, or the path which leads to Him. وَصِفَةَ أَهْلِهَا. And the qualities of the people who travel upon that path. وَمَا لَهُمْ عِنْدَ الْقُدُومِ عَلَيْهِ. And what Allah will give them upon them arriving. وَيُعَرِّفُ الْعَدُوَ الَّذِي هُوَ الْعَدُوُ عَلَى الْحَقِيقَةِ. And it identifies the enemy, which is the true enemy. والطريق الموصل إلى العذاب. And it also identifies the path which leads you to torment. وصفة أهلها and the qualities of its people. وما لهم عند وجود أسباب العقاب. And what they will have from Allah whenever they have brought about the reasons behind destruction and torment. وكلما ازداد العبد تأملا فيه ازداد علما وعملا وبصيرة. The more a slave reflects upon the Quran, the more he will increase in his knowledge, his actions, and his insight.
لذلك أمر الله بذلك وحث عليه وأخبر أنه هو المقصود بإنزال القرآن.
This way Allah commanded that you do so, and He encouraged it, and He explained that this is the reason behind the revelation of the Quran.
كما قال تعالى كتاب أنزلناه إليك مبارك ليتدبروا آياته وليتذكر أولو الألباب.
A book we have sent down upon you, blessed,
Why? لِيَدَّبَّرُوا آيَاتِ. So they may reflect upon its ayat, and that the people of intellect will take a reminder. So obviously the Qur'an, as opposed to what many Muslims do today, may Allah rectify our condition in theirs, is not a book which you read in Ramadan and then khalas. It is not just about the mere recitation and getting 10 good deeds for each letter. That's fine. That's valid. But that's not the objective though. That's one of the reasons where Allah Azza wa Jalla revealed this, so you can get the ajr. But that's not the main reason. The main reason is understanding and acting upon it. Otherwise, when Allah wanted to criticize the Jews, He said, وَمِنْهُمْ أُمِّيُّونَ لَا يَعْلَمُونَ الْكِتَابَ إِلَّا أَمَانِيًّا. Among them are those who are illiterate, ignorant. They know nothing of the book by recitation. So Allah criticized the people who only recite the Quran. He criticized the people who only recite the Torah. And we're understanding from that that we're being criticized if we only recite without understanding. And then after understanding, application. All of these are required. All of these are required. وَقَالَ تَعَالَى أَفَلَا يَتَدَبَّرُونَ الْقُرْآنَ أَمْ عَلَى قُلُوبٍ أَقْفَالُهَا. Do they not reflect upon the Qur'an, or are they locks over their hearts? Are there locks over their hearts? وَمِنْ فَوَائِدِ التَّدَبُّرِ لِكِتَابِ اللَّهِ أَنَّهُ بِذَلِكَ يَصِلُ الْعَبْدُ إِلَى دَرَجَةِ الْيَقِينِ وَالْعِلْمِ بِأَنَّهُ كَلَامُ اللَّهِ. Among the benefits of pondering or reflecting or looking carefully into the Qur'an is that the slave is able to attain the degree of certainty and knowledge that it is truly the speech of Allah. That the Qur'an is truly the speech of Allah, not the speech of anyone else. لِأَنَّهُ يَرَاهُ يُصَدِّقُ بَعْضَهُ بَعْضًا. Because he will see how the Qur'an, it verifies itself. يعني you read something here, and then you read it some in another surah, and you find that it explains it, it verifies it, it agrees with it. You have to understand, you're talking about over 66,000 ayat. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam was illiterate. He couldn't read, nor could he write. This book, for him to be able to convey, if he was making it up on his own, if he was making it up on his own, what are the possibilities of you making a mistake? And then now when they publish a book, what do they discover? Many typos, mistakes, whatever that they have. Sometimes they take the book back. They take it out of the market. Or they have the second edition, third edition. They continue to revise. He is conveying this orally to the Sahaba. Orally. At times they would be with him, and he will start sweating. He will start sweating when the revelation comes to him, and he will convey the ayah directly. What are the chances of you not having any contradictions with the 66,000 ayat over 23 years? If it was a regular person, then he'd be in big trouble. Every day he must revise and then, hold on, what did I tell you the other week? What was it again? Oh no, this doesn't work. You wouldn't be able to do it. Honestly, you wouldn't be able to do it. So this is a sign, it's from Allah. This is the speech of Allah. He's simply conveying it to the people. Otherwise, it's impossible to go through this project. I mean, if there was someone who was like very educated with all these degrees from Harvard University, we will still say it's impossible. You're talking about someone living in the Arabian Peninsula in the desert, who used to be a shepherd, alayhi salatu salam, and a merchant. No one, yani, nothing, no qualifications. Can't even read or write for the sake of Allah. How are you going to bring this book together and make sure that it's all harmonious? But when you read the book of Allah, you will find a harmony. It's amazing. It's amazing harmony between the ayat and the surah. And if you read this, the works of the ulama and the tafsir, and you're mesmerized how they relate between the beginning of the surah and the end of the surah, or between that surah and the one that comes after, and so on and so forth. Wa alaykum salam. Early. Wa alaykum salam, mashallah, mashallah. As they better late than never. Tayyib. وَيُوَافِقُهُ بَعْضُهُ بَعْضًا. And it agrees. The Qur'an agrees with itself. فَتَرَى الْحِكَمَ وَالْقِصَّ وَالْإِخْبَارَاتُ تُعَادُ فِي الْقُرْآنِ فِي عِدَّةِ مَوَاضِعٍ. You will find that the wisdom and the stories and the information being repeated in the Qur'an in many different locations or places. كُلُّهَا مُتَوَافِقَةً متسابقة. All of them are harmonious and verifying itself for each other. For example, Surah Musa, the story of Musa, how many times does it occur in the Quran? So many different surah. And so many Surah Taha, even at the end of the Quran, Surah Al-Qasas and Surah Al-Nazi'at. I mean, the story of Musa is often repeated. And for you to know the whole story, you have to read the whole Quran. When you read the whole Quran, then you'll be able to see the actual sequence of events of the story, because it is spread. It is spread out throughout the Quran. What happened from the beginning until the end. Now, فبذلك لا ينقض أو لا ينقض بعضها بعضا. It does not negate or contradict each other or itself. It's difficult to translate this. فترى فبذلك يعلم كمال القرآن. Through that you're able to know or to identify or to internalize the perfection of the Quran. The perfection of the Quran. وَأَنَّهُ مِنْ عِنْدِي مَنْ أَحَاطَ عِلْمُهُ بِجَمِيعِ الْأُمُورِ. And that it comes from the one whose knowledge encompasses everything, every matter. فَلِذَٰلِكَ قَالَ تَعَالَى وَلَوْ كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِي غَيْرِ اللَّهِ لَوَجَدُوا فِيهِ اخْتِلَافًا كَثِيرًا. Had it been from other than Allah, then they would have found therein much contradiction. أي فَلَمَّا كَانَ مِنْ عِنْدِ اللَّهِ لَمْ يَكُنْ فِيهِ اخْتِلَافٌ أَصْلًا. But because it is from Allah, they don't find any contradiction whatsoever. Like I told you, there's absolutely no contradictions in the Quran. No contradictions whatsoever. And we challenge anyone in the world. Anyone in the world. Anyone in the world among the non-Muslims, let them present anything which they claim to be a contradiction, and we will prove to them how it is not. We will prove to them how it is not. Even the ayat which they speak about, the one ayat speaking about the heavens and the earth being created in 6 days or 2 days, and then one that says 4 days, this is merely misunderstanding of the ayat. In one ayah, I believe in Surah Al-Shura. There's one in Surah Al-Shura, one in Surah Al-Nazi'at. Allah Azza wa Jal spoke about that the earth and then whatever was made upon the earth was in 4 days. And 2 days for the sama, that's 6 days. They try to claim over there that Allah, there is a contradicting ayah which says that the earth Allah created in 2 days. No, the earth in 2 days, then whatever Allah created upon the earth of the mountains and the whatever you see today of the on earth, this was 2 days. So 2 days for the actual earth, 2 days for whatever is upon the earth, and 2 days for the sama, that's sittati ayyam. This is 6 days. So that's the only thing they try to claim, and it is from the Arabic text, you can tell that they have absolutely no case. But usually they try to refer to mistranslations to prove their case. Otherwise the ayah does not say that the whole thing was in 2 days. Rather it specifies that 2 days was for the creation of the earth, and 2 days, أَخْرَجَ مِنْهَا مَاءَهَا وَمَرْعَاهَا وَالْجِبَالَ أَرْسَاهَا. These are the things which took the other 2 days. So it's clear for the people of tafsir, but the non-Muslims try to use it against us, and they always lose the battle. And like I said, until now and until the end of time, they will never be able to prove that the Quran is from other than Allah, or the Quran is not from Allah. While we can prove to any scripture that it is man-made, any scripture that it is handwritten by human beings, and that it is full of contradictions and discrepancies. Specifically the Bible, which they claim is from Allah, and it is not. It may have some information which is correct, no doubt. Some of the things which Jesus taught, alayhi salatu wasalam, we may find some references and some traces of them in the Bible. Like the clear ayat here, O children of Israel, or the Lord our God, the Lord is one, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind, with all your strength. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God. This is like Islam. You know, this Allah says in the Quran, and He said, Ya Bani Israel, اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ رَبِّي وَرَبَّكُمْ. Worship Allah, my Lord and yours. So, I mean, the same idea is taught in the Quran, you may find in the Bible. But do the Christians follow that ayah, that verse of the Bible? No, they don't. If they did, they would be Muslims. But they followed Paul and the church and the Pope and everybody else who comes and tells them that there's a Father and a Son and a Holy Ghost, and these three are co-equal, co-eternal, co-existent. It's all this nonsense. It doesn't make any sense. How are they co-equal? How are they co-equal if you say that the Father brought the Son? When two things are co-equal, meaning they're co-equal, no one is going to bring anything. They must have been there the whole time. If they co-eternal and you say that the son died and he went to the hellfire for 3 days according to them, then he was resurrected. How is he co-eternal if he died? How is he co-eternal if he was brought into existence by the Father? Because they claim that they wasn't. And then, you know, when God saw that all these people are disobeying him and whatever, then he decided to, you know, to bring forth his begotten son who will be, you know, who will pay for the sins of people and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Doesn't make any sense. Their definitions don't make any sense. Even the people who follow the church, they don't even understand anything. The average person goes to see his girlfriend. That's what it is. Or if they have one of these orchestras, you know, they have a big musical band, people go to have a blast. They go get a free concert and get some wine and some bread and go back home. You won't find anyone really understanding what Christianity is. Hardly ever. Hardly ever. And when if they truly do understand and you debate with them, they will lose. So then either they will accept or they will be among those who know the truth and reject it for worldly gain and worldly preferences and what have you. Otherwise the case is closed. No one can deal with Islam. No one can debate with Islam. No one can challenge the Quran or the Sunnah of the Prophet ﷺ. We will defeat anyone in, like a bulldozer. You just bring anyone, we just will smash them and run them over. The problem is our qualifications. We being able to do so. Being qualified to do so. Otherwise, no one can debate with the Muslim and the Muslim loses the battle. Not necessarily the debate which you used to see on TV. But I mean, even in nice dialogue, you should be able to prove to any non-Muslim the validity of the religion which you have embraced or you were born into. Now, Ayah 83 reads, وَإِذَا جَاءَهُمْ أَمْرٌ مِّنَ الْأَمْنِ أَوْ الْخَوْفِ أَذَاعُوا بِهِ وَلَوْ رَدُّوهُ إِلَى الرَّسُولِ وَإِلَى أُولِي الْأَمْرِ مِنْهُمْ لَعَلِمَهُ الَّذِينَ يَسْتَنْبِطُونَهُ مِنْهُمْ وَلَوْلَا فَضْلُ اللَّهِ عَلَيْكُمْ وَرَحْمَتُهُ لَاتَّبَعْتُمُ الشَّيْطَانَ إِلَّا قَلِيلًا. When there comes to them some matter touching public safety or fear, they make it known among the people. If only they had referred it to the messenger or those charged with authority among them, the proper investigators would have understood it from them directly. Had it not been for the grace and mercy of Allah upon you, you would have followed Satan, save a few of you. Now, of course, the context of Revelation is very important to understand this ayah, and I wonder whether the Shaykh will address it or not. على كل حال هذا تأديب من الله لعباده عن فعلهم هذا غير لائق. This is a reprimand from Allah to his slaves concerning that inappropriate action of theirs. وأنه ينبغي لهم إذا جاءهم أمر من الأمور المهمة والمصالح العامة ما يتعلق بالأمن وسرور المؤمنين أو بالخوف الذي فيه مصيبة عليهم أن يتثبتوا ولا يستعجلوا بإشاعة ذلك الخبر. And that is what is incumbent on the believers when a matter from among the important matters come to them that have to do with the general public benefit or matters pertaining to security or things which are bring about happiness and pleasure for the believers. Or if it matters of fear, which is a calamity, they are supposed to, it's incumbent on them, and yatathabbatu from thabat, to be firm, meaning to verify. To verify, وَلَا يَسْتَعْجِلُوا بِإِشَاعَةَ الْخَبَرِ. Don't rush and haste into spreading and publicizing this news or these news. Don't rush into publicizing them and sharing them with the people. بل يردونه إلى الرسول وأولي الأمر منهم أهل الرأي والعلم والنصح والعقل والرزانة. Rather they should refer to the messenger and to the people in charge among them. The people of intellect, the people of knowledge, the people of sincere advice, the people of the rational people. الذين يعرفون الأمور ويعرفون المصالح ضدها. Those who know the matters, they know the opposite of these matters, and they know the benefit and the opposite of what is beneficial, which is harmful. فإن رأوا في إذاعته مصلحة ونشاطا للمؤمنين وسرورا لهم وتحرزا من أعدائهم فعلوا ذلك.
If these experts, let's call them the experts, if they find that in this information, in these news, there's benefit for the believers, and there's means of encouraging them and bringing them happiness and also protecting them from their enemies, then they publicize it. They make this news public.
وَإِنْ رَأَوْا أَنَّهُ لَيْسَ فِي مَصْلَحَةٍ أو فيه مصلحة ولكن مضرته تزيد على المصالح لن يدعوا.
But if they found that there's harm in it or there's a benefit but the harm exceeds the benefit, they did not publicize it.
ولهذا قال لعلمه الذين يستنبطونه منهم.
Those who are able to deduce it would have known.
أي يستخرجونه بفكرهم وآرائهم السديدة وعلومهم الرشيدة.
They're able to deduce through their intellect and their rightly guided opinions and their beneficial knowledge.
وفي هذا دليل لقاعدة أدبية.
Now in this, there's an evidence for a moral principle.
وهي أنه إذا حصل بحث في أمر من الأمور ينبغي أن يولى من هو أهل لذلك.
If there's a research concerning a subject matter, it should be referred to the people who are most qualified. It should be referred to the people who are most qualified.
وَيُجْعَلُوا إِلَىٰ أَهْلِهِ.
It should be returned to those who are the expertise in this field.
وَلَا يُتَقَدَّمْ بَيْنَ أَيْدِهِمْ.
And no one should put himself forth between them, between the hands, meaning no one should present himself when he's not from the people of expertise.
فَإِنَّهُ أَقْرَبِ إِلَىٰ الصَّوَابُ وَأَحْرَىٰ لِلسَّلَامَ مِنَ الْخَطَأِ.
Because it is more likely that they will get the correct opinion and that they will be saved from making mistakes.
And so, again, this is very important, ikhwan, specifically in matters of da'wah. Specifically in matters of da'wah.
This is why we say over and over again, akhi, you need to familiarize yourself with the textual evidences, you need to familiarize yourself with the principles of Islam, and you need to familiarize yourself with da'wah terminologies.
Your language, whatever language you use to give da'wah, if you speak English in some other language and you're giving da'wah in that other language, or if you give da'wah in English, you must work on your language skills. Because this is part of the job of conveying the message correctly to the people. Now we're far away from attaining perfection, and it's not doable, but it doesn't mean we don't make an effort. But every da'iyah must improve his language. Because frankly, let me be very frank with you, and I'm not trying to, put anyone down here, but sometimes, ikhwan, when the person is unable to express himself, people don't want to listen. And I can bring you tens of people that I know who, when a particular person gives khutbah, sermon, they just want to leave. Because he brings a piece of paper, and he wants to read the khutbah from a piece of paper, and the people listening can read better than him. He's reading from the paper and he's still unable to read. And the people listening, if they were given that piece of paper, they would have read better than himself. So that's not fair for the people, ya akhi. That's not fair for the people. And so the issue of enhancing our language skills for the sake of Allah, for the sake of da'wah, is a requirement. If English is your first language, then da'wah terminology. Or then it becomes Arabic. If you already speak English, now you have to work on the Arabic skills. Learn the language, and learn the terminology, and learn the things pertaining to that. Because all of this serves towards the conveying the message in a correct way to the people. The more we lack, the worse the job that we do. And the more difficult it is for people to understand the message. So this is very important, that we have these particular qualifications, because Allah said, here according to this ayah, when there's a subject matter that there are people who are well versed in that, they should be given the task. And you don't go present yourself before them when you don't have the same skills that they do. Rather, leave it for the people who own these skills, who are well versed in this particular aspect of the deen. وفيه النهي عن العجلة والتسرع لنسر الأمور من حين سماعها.
And there's a prohibition in this ayah of being hasty and rushing towards spreading news upon hearing them, which is what we often do. They for example, some soccer. I saw this in this on the internet on a newspaper, some electronic newspaper, obviously, that some coach, soccer team coach or football, if you're from Britain. He embraced Islam, and he married a Saudi nurse, and he married a Saudi nurse, and that's why he keeps coming back to Saudi. He's in Qatar now, or in Emirates, or whatever he is. And they say he keeps coming back and forth because he embraced Islam and he married a Saudi woman. And of course, the Muslims love, you know, this goes viral. Everybody, oh, mashallah, you know, this is a big coach. He used to be a coach of one of the local teams here, one of the local losers. Let's call him the local losers, the soccer teams. It's a waste of time of the Shabab. And then guess what? The news came to him, and he wasn't a happy camper. Rather, he made fun of Islam. He made fun of Islam. He said, becoming a Muslim, how would I become a Muslim when I'm not even circumcised? So he's trying to belittle the teachings of Islam and try to say how far-fetched it is that he would become a Muslim. And so now, it backfired. Had the people been silent and waited till they verified the news, someone spoke to him directly, they just assumed he became a Muslim, it would have been better. Now the consequence is this clown, this kafir loser, is making fun of Islam and his teachings, as if we need him. We don't need him. Whether he becomes a Muslim, it's for his own good. If he doesn't, may he rot in Jahannam. And we don't need him. We're not going to be happy with his entrance or his absence. It's for his good. Of course, we're happy when someone becomes a Muslim. Alhamdulillah. For his good also. Not like you will gain anything if he becomes a Muslim. You are you. So this is why, you know, we need to take it easy. Every day you hear, you know, big super Hollywood stars suddenly became Muslim. They're not Muslims. They wind up refuting these news which the people circulate. So don't rush into, as soon as you hear something, go ahead and you know, circulate this information. Verify first. والأمر بالتأمل قبل الكلام والنظر فيه. And Allah has commanded that you reflect upon speech before you actually speak it and look into it. هل هو مصلحة فيقدم عليه الإنسان أم لا فيحجم عنه. Is it benefit? Is there benefit in it so the person will proceed and speak about it, or is it harmful so he will withhold and remain silent? ثم قال تعالى ولولا فضل الله عليكم ورحمته. Had it not been for the bounty of Allah upon you and His mercy. أي في توفيقكم وتأديبكم وتعليمكم ما لم تكونوا تعلمون. Meaning in granting you success, in reprimanding you and teaching you that which you knew not. لتبعتم الشيطان إلا قليلا. You would have followed Satan, save a few of you. لأن الإنسان بطبعه ظالم جاهل فلا تأمره نفسه إلا بالشر. Human being by his nature is oppressive and ignorant, and himself commands him towards evil. فَإِذَا لَجَى إِلَى رَبِّهِ. But if he seeks refuge with his Lord, وَاعْتَصَمَ بِهِ, and he held on to the teachings, وَاجْتَهَدَ فِي ذَلِكَ, and he exerted himself in that, لَطَفَ بِهِ رَبُّهُ. Allah Azza wa Jal will show the gentleness and affection and ease towards him. وَفَّقَهُ لِكُلِّ خَيْرٍ. Allah will grant him success in doing all kinds of good. وَعَصَمَهُ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ. And Allah will protect him and prevent, and He will protect him and grant him refuge from the Satan, the accursed Satan. Now, and with that, inshallah, we conclude. Even though Ayah 84 is around the corner, around the block, it's an interesting ayah. We'll go back to the issues of jihad. In case you missed some of the ayat of jihad, they're coming right back around. على كل حال جزاكم الله خير وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين وصلى الله وسلم على نبينا محمد.